Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your daily 10 minutes of food for your soul. And this is your host, Mark Day. Well, today we're back in our study of the New Testament book of 1 John. In his writing, the Apostle John is battling several heresies that are floating around in the first century. And in fact, those same heresies are floating around today. As I mentioned previously, the two big heresies are the denial of the full deity of Jesus Christ and the denial of personal sin. So I'll read 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In previous Daily 10 episodes, we've considered light and darkness, fellowship, and the subject of sin. Today, let's think about what John means when he says, if we confess our sins. That word confess can be confusing. In our everyday use of the word, we often equate confess with the word admit. We mistakenly think that to confess something is merely to admit something. More specifically, we think that it simply means to admit wrongdoing. Well, confession in the Bible includes that, but it means more. A better way of understanding the word confess is to think agree with. When we confess something, we are in agreement with someone else about it. The idea of confession includes the admittance of guilt, but just as importantly, it's our being in agreement about something. Persons who confess their sins are agreeing with God about it. They acknowledge its reality and affirm that it's a transgression of God's law and it's an attack on God's character. So, of course, the Apostle John has God in his thinking. John is saying that when we are in agreement with God about something, when we are in agreement with God about the issue of sin, God is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. Now, this is tremendously important, this biblical concept of confess. Again, it's more than simply admitting wrongdoing. It means to be in agreement with, specifically, to be in agreement with God. God sees sin as something that is an attack on him personally. He sees sin as a rebellious attack against his character, his value, his worth, his integrity, his wisdom, his power, and an attack on his written word. God sees sin as an attack, an affront against him personally. God sees sin as something that ought to be despised because God himself despises it. God sees sin as something we ought not tolerate because God himself cannot and will not tolerate sin. God sees sin as something that ought to be radically and permanently turned away from. In Leviticus 11:44, God had said, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." The Apostle Peter uses that same verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, as Peter is calling Christians everywhere to live in holiness, to live in ways that honor God. So, God sees sin as a radical attack upon his holiness. It's an affront to God's holiness, and followers of Jesus ought to do everything possible to be separated from sin. God sees sin as something that Christ followers ought to have nothing to do with. Radical separation is needed. The biblical word for that separation is repentance, a turning away in our mind and in our actions, a permanent, intentional, and vigorous turning away. Well, when we confess our sin, we're not only admitting that we have sinned, we agree with God about it. We agree that it's not simply a mistake. It's not simply a slip-up. It's not simply a personal weakness. We agree with God that the sin we have participated in is evil, because it is an attack on God's holiness, and it's something to be eradicated from our life. God has a hatred for sin. Likewise, believers are called to hate sin, especially sin in our own heart. That's God's view on sin, briefly stated, of course, but in sum, that's God's view. When we confess our sins, we are in agreement with God about it. Now, this is enormously important. There are people running around all over this world today claiming to have confessed their sins. Very likely, what they mean is that they've admitted that they sinned. They admit that they made a mistake and they feel bad about it because of the consequences they are now facing. But as we know, confession is much more than merely admitting wrongdoing. Look, the Christian life is about transformation in Christ. Never apart from Christ, always in Christ. As believers grow in Christ, our hatred for sin grows. Not our hatred for people, our hatred for sin. As our hatred for sin grows, we become increasingly sorrowful for the sin in our own life and the sin in the world around us, which leads to our deep desire for separation from that sin. The Christian life is about transformation, and a person's life cannot be transformed until he or she comes into agreement with God about the sin problem in their own life. Sin is reprehensible to God. It's ugly. It's life-destroying, and it ought not to be a part of a Christian's life, and the Scriptures clearly mark out what God considers to be sin. Now, here's the beautiful thing. God is about the business of transforming lives, and it's God who does the transforming. We don't transform ourselves. That's the problem with so many self-help books. They want to declare a message of self-transformation. No, no, no. In the biblical worldview, it's God who does the transforming work. The Holy Spirit's work is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, never gaining equality with Christ, but growing in Christ's likeness in our character, in our thinking, and in our conduct. That's the Holy Spirit's work. That's God's work. So, when a person truly receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, that person, immediately upon conversion, receives the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit immediately begins the work of conviction of sin. The Spirit's work causes believers to begin to recognize their sin for what it is, an attack against the character of God. The Spirit gives a believer the deep desire to turn away from anything that would belittle our Lord Jesus. The Spirit leads believers to come into agreement about their sin against God. The Holy Spirit leads believers to confess their sin, and the Holy Spirit helps believers to repent of sin. The Spirit helps believers turn away from their God-belittling sins. This is the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a true believer. So, the life of a Christ follower is one of continual confession, not just one-time confession of sin, continual, lifelong confession. The progressive sanctification process includes an increasing awareness of our own sin, an increasing agreement with God about it, and a deep desire to repent of it. Now, the Apostle John is not referring to what the Bible calls worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is simply feeling bad about the consequences of our sin. The sin itself isn't so much a bother, it's the consequences of the sin that are upsetting. That's worldly sorrow, and everyone experiences it. Worldly sorrow may lead to many, many dysfunctions in a person's life, but it brings little in terms of life transformation. But the Bible speaks of godly sorrow. Godly sorrow brings about real personal change because it rises out of an awareness that God has personally been injured by our sin, and that brings deep sorrow. A true believer will become deeply remorseful at the realization that their personal sin has brought disgrace upon God Himself. That deep sense of remorse will lead a person to confess their sin, turn away from it, and seek God's forgiveness. Therefore, true believers are continual confessors. True believers are continually confessing sin as the Holy Spirit continually brings an awareness of sin in our own life. Finally, John is writing for the purpose of correcting false teaching. That false teaching included those who ignored their own sin as if it were not a reality. It included those who claimed to presently have no sin at all, and it included those who claimed they'd never sinned at all. John is blowing this false teaching right out of the water. John is saying that confession of sin will be the regular pattern in the life of a true believer. The true believer will recognize it, confess it, repent of it, and seek God's forgiveness. That work takes place because it's the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is the definition of a Christian. A person can't be a Christian and not have the indwelling Spirit. And you can refer to Romans chapter 8 if you would like to study further on that point. So, the false teachers who John is confronting are not true believers. They are sin deniers. And true believers are not sin deniers. They are sin confessors. Next time, we'll consider what it means to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Spread the word, forward the podcast link to your friends and contacts, and join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.